Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, with our friend Ruben Franco, who'd you bring in today here?
Hey, Paul, thanks for doing this, and thanks for everybody listening today. We're honored to have Congressman Derek Tran on today. He's been one of our newer members of Congress here in Orange County. We're going to talk to him, get to know him a little bit better. He currently represents the 45th District.
That's right.
He's a former U.S. Army reservist and an attorney, and we're going to get to know him a little better and talk about him, but what's going on in the district and in the country. There's a lot of stuff going on, I think, if you guys have been paying attention. Good, but we'd like to start our podcast by just you telling us a little bit about yourself personally, your family, or your upbringing. Just let us know what's going on.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity, sure. Ruben, and to the Orange County Hispanic Chamber. I really appreciate being here and talking to the audience. Born and raised in Southern California, my parents were Vietnamese refugees who came here after the fall of Saigon, after a lot of heartbreak and quite a bit of when you lose a country during the Vietnam War, it wasn't easy for you to find a new place, a new home. They spent about a year in the refugee camps before the U.S. let them in, and I was very fortunate to be born out here. I spent my entire childhood living off of those social safety net programs that so many people talk about, whether it's housing, Section 8 housing, WIC, food stamps. That was the childhood that I had because we were immigrants and we didn't have anything else. And my parents worked their butt off to get us off of those programs. But that was my childhood. We struggled. I was pretty much a latchkey kid growing up, where my parents were always trying to figure out how to make ends meet. But I just had a profound love and appreciation for this country that, one, took my family in to help them, and then two, gave us the means to help us uplift ourselves. And that's what triggered me at 18. I was still in high school when I enlisted in the Army Reserves. It was my way of paying back to this country that has given my family so much. And really there, I fell in love with service. I was in the reserves, but was called up to active duty in 2003 during the Iraq conflict. I was very fortunate I didn't have to go overseas. Did my time for almost 5-6 months at Fort Stewart on Homeland Security with my unit. And then when I got out, I put myself through law school. I wanted to do more. I wanted to give back. And as a lawyer, I focused on employment cases, discrimination, harassment, wrongful termination, always representing the employee, the people right. who were hurt or mistreated by large corporations. And I took a lot of pride in that. And usually it's never the corporations that mess up. It's the bad managers that they have.
Yeah.
And sometimes there needs to be a wake-up call for these companies. And that's what I did. And I took a lot of pride being able to serve the consumers, the employees out there. I had my own practice. It was a small practice. And eventually, my wife and I opened up a little pharmacy. We have a pharmacy retail brick and mortar out in Anaheim. And we serve our community that way, taking care of them, making sure we fill their prescription drugs, and helping out that way. And I have 3 young kids, live right here in Orange County.
Oh, that's great. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that with us. And so at 18 years old, you're driven to give back and to enlist. And that's just from your upbringing. So that's just, to me, that just seems pretty amazing. So
thank you. Yeah. And I think for me, it's always been about giving back however I can. Even as a professional attorney, I always found time to be a Kwanian or a Rotarian and giving back to community that way. And it fulfilled me.
What made you go through all that. What made you want to run for office? Because that's a different step.
It is, for sure. And this is my first elected office I've ever held. Early in my career, I served Mayor Hahn, James Hahn, in the city of L.A. Yeah, I did public safety work for him on the policy side. And I did that stint there, and I liked it. What made me run for this seat is the fact that I currently represent the largest Vietnamese diaspora in the world. You have Vietnam, and then you have Little Saigon right here in Orange County. And in the 50 years, almost 51 years, this end of this month, since the fall of Saigon, the community that has been displaced out of that country and settled here in the U.S. and specifically in Orange County, they, in 50 years, have never had a representative in Congress. They've never had a voice in Congress. So it was almost like a calling for me to be able to do this for them. Now, whether or not I would have won, I didn't know at that time. But it was the fact that I wanted to be able to represent my community and be able to tell their experiences, and give them that platform at the federal level.
Sure, they had representation after 50 years, like you said. And this is the largest concentration outside of Vietnam of Vietnamese
That's right.
Americans.
That's okay. Right.
That's awesome. Great. And what's it been like being in Congress? If this is your first time running for office, that's got to be a different experience just being there.
Yeah, look, I recognize the challenges for what it is, right? But I'm not new to tough fights, right? Taking on cases and trying cases against large corporations, you're always the underdog. And in this particular role, being in the minority, it's tough, but it's also an opportunity for me to continue to work very hard to bring back funding for my communities. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to be able to bring back $14 million for my communities, fire stations, emergency operations centers, you name it, as long as it's my community's priority, it's things that I work in obtaining for them in Congress. So it's a tough job for sure. The hope is it's going to get better when I'm in the majority and I can bring back even more resources for my community. But it's an honor of a lifetime for me.
Sure. Is that the most rewarding thing you found being in Congress, is being able to just help financially with the community, or is there anything else that's been rewarding being in Congress?
Yeah, I think it's being one of so few out there that can make a change at this type of macro level, if you will, that has implications not just nationwide, but worldwide. You vote on policy and legislation that can impact Europe, Asia.
Yeah.
And to me, that's profoundly fulfilling. And I think also rewarding when you can take steps to make life better for people in a positive way.
What committees do you serve on?
I'm honored to be able to sit on the House Armed Services Committee, and which makes sense.
Sure, it makes sense.
I also have the Los Alamitos base in my district, that helped quite a bit when I asked for that committee. And then I also sit on the Small Business House Committee.
That's great. And that's as a chamber, right? We're celebrating our 40th year as a chamber. We were founded by the founders. I wasn't around back then, but they needed resource small business. And there was less then. There's more now, fortunately. We're blessed to be a small business development center under the SBA. We're one of only three Hispanic chambers in the country to do so. We get federal funding through the SBA. We get some funding from the GoBiz office or the governor's office here in the state, and from other organizations too, banks and different things, to provide those services at no cost. And so that's important to us. We appreciate you helping us get that funding, because we try to help people day to day. 24/7 is what we help people start, grow, and get funding for their business. So we do appreciate your leadership in that. What are some of the things you're focused on for small business then?
Look, I recognize that small businesses, that's the backbone of our economy, period. Like 90-something% of my district is comprised of small businesses. Yep. So sitting on the Small Business Committee, I want to make sure that red tape is cut. And people talk about that a lot, but it makes total sense. As a small business owner, I understand how hard it is to get a small business administration loan, because I got one for the pharmacy.
Yeah.
And it was a nightmare. It was really hard to get. And I want to take those experiences that I have to make it better for those that are seeking that opportunity to open their new business. Some of the main legislation that I've been able to pass bipartisan includes increasing the write-off for new businesses from $5,000 to $50,000. So now entrepreneurs who start their business, $5,000 doesn't get you very far.
Never.
And honestly, $50,000 probably doesn't get you that far either, but it's 10x of what it used to be.
Yeah. So a way bigger number.
It helps.
Take it as an entrepreneur.
It helps. Absolutely. Access to the ability to read documents, plain language in contracting is something that I also led legislation on to make sure that I'm a lawyer and I'm a trained lawyer, but there are a lot of people who start businesses that don't have that legal background.
That's right.
And they should be able to read a contract and understand it, and not in the contract not be filled with legalese language that people won't understand. the Habla Act to make sure that those who are Spanish-speaking has access to Spanish documents, yeah. And that's very helpful. Amongst other things that I've done, those are some of the key legislation that I've been very proud of leading in the Small Business Committee.
Yeah, and you're right. It's 95% of businesses are small, and that's what drives the economy. Think about the Apples and the big companies of the world, but it's really small business that does that. So we do appreciate your support in that, and our members appreciate that support. What's going on with the Armed Services Committee? What are you working on there?
Look, I think current events, there's stuff going on with Iran, the Middle East,
quite a little bit.
That takes up quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
But the impact goes beyond just like Middle East and nuclear and national security. You got to look at it from a trade perspective as well. There is a strait there, the Strait of Hormuz, that is very important to economic trade. And with that being shut off, prices with goods gets elevated and rise, and that means the consumers will ultimately pay more because the companies have to pay more for these transported goods. So that's tie-in from armed services to small business and how that impacts. Speaking more broadly, I think tariffs and how this administration has been exercising tariffs has hurt our small business community, and that's something that I'm taking an active role in looking at, whether it's the Relief Act, where it's another legislation that I led where small businesses should be able to get refunds for the excessive tariffs that they paid because of what this administration is doing. It's not fair for them, the small business.
Yeah, that's true. I always notice, and this is more of a personal question, you wear Air Jordans. Is there a story why you wear Air Jordans all the time?
There isn't, other than one, I like the look. I like to wear high tops.
You wear them in Congress too, right?
I do. I'm a big sneaker with the suit guy.
Okay.
Occasionally, when I was a practicing lawyer, you can't get away with wearing sneakers in court. I would wear my dress shoes. For my wedding, I wore sneakers.
Okay. So my wife was okay with that.
It's my wedding. It's my wedding too.
It's your wedding.
It's my wedding too. And that's always been something that I like. It's part of my style, my identity. I do wearing nice, clean sneakers with suits.
That's good. And I think it's a really nice look. And I have an original pair of Air Jordans.
There you go.
That I bought. My son has them now in a glass case. So it's funny.
I don't collect them though. I wear them.
You wear them.
Yeah, I buy them to wear. And that's my one thing.
Because there are people who collect them, and that's a whole different area of connection. What are we have a new district that's, you're going to be representing somewhat. It's tweaked from the Prop 50. What is that going to look like? It's not too many changes, but can you tell us what those changes look like?
Yeah, my footprint in LA County expands a little bit. I pick up Norwalk, the city of Norwalk. In Orange County specifically, I pick up the south part of the city of Stanton.
Okay.
And then a very small part of Santa Ana. And then I drop some of my Orange County smaller cities like Los Alamitos. Outside of the base, I will continue to represent the base.
Okay.
And a little bit of my North OC part of the district, like Brea, gets dropped out.
Big picture, what do you think are some of the things that your constituents are saying that they're most concerned about?
I hear my constituency is made up of so many groups, right? Whether it's ethnic groups or just looking at the small business constituency. Like, they're concerned about, when talking about small business, since this is a chamber podcast, they're concerned about employees who are not in fear of coming to work, right? Because we rely on, so much of our economy relies on an immigrant workforce. And if they're scared to show up to work, you can't function your business. You can't run your business. So that hurts your business. And then from the other standpoint, if you have consumers that are immigrants who are afraid to go out in public to buy your goods, that impacts your business. And I'm all for immigration enforcement, right? But let's focus that enforcement on the felons, the people who should not be in our nation, in our community. But when it hurts production of our economy and how businesses can grow, that's something we have to be a little bit more laser focused on, making sure that we are more targeted. And that's something that I hear a lot about from the small business owners in my community. From the constituency part, people are in fear. No one wants to see troops or masked agents right. walking around their streets. We want to be able to go about our day, go to the dry cleaner, go to the grocery store without having anxiety of carrying our passports with us. It's hard. That's tough. From a broader perspective, I think so much of the community is worried about cost of living. Prices continue to go up, not down. With what's happening in Iran, gas prices spiking, and those who have to drive 15, 20, 30 miles to work, they pay the price for that. And life is tough enough to make your bills, to pay your groceries, to take care of your kids, to pay for child support, that you don't need an extra $100, $150 in gas bill a month. I think that's something that I'm focused on in Congress. I started a caucus called the Lowering Cost Caucus to make sure that we look at goods that are coming into our country and making sure that there's no greedflation, that people aren't being overcharged, and also looking at legislation to make sure that we lower everyday costs for folks. And that includes daycare, that includes your grocery bill. So, you know, a lot of stuff going on. And I think that a lot of people are worried about a lot of different things, but it's my job. It's the job of so many electeds out there from the local all the way to the federal level to make sure that we provide safety and we provide this comfort for our community. And that's something that is at the forefront of what I do.
Yeah, you look across the board, right? Whether it's healthcare, whether it's housing, whether it's insurance, especially here in California, all those costs have gone up. And so what kind of things can we do as a society and then as elected official to help remedy or at least soften the burden of those type of things? Because we have a lot, we're in an expensive county here, in Orange County, obviously, right? And I think we had something like, it's required to have $349,000 in annual income just to afford a house here. So that's a big deal for your nice kids, right? And how are they going to afford those kind of houses going forward? And our workforce is important. So that's challenging.
That's right.
What are some of the other things that you're working on or you've noticed being in Congress? What was maybe a light bulb moment you had in Congress? You go, I'm really sitting in the halls of Congress? Because I mean, when I go there, I'm always I'm a little starstruck of how this is the people's house. This is our form of government. And I think we're very blessed as Americans, but it could be one generation away. So what are the kind of things that struck you when you first got there?
I think it's such a beautiful story for me to think about how a son of immigrants, a son of refugees, could now sit in an office in Longworth, one of the Capitol office buildings, to go to the floor of Congress and vote, to go to the floor of Congress to debate. It's an amazing and inspiring type of feeling. And it's something that I hope will not end with me, that there's so many generations after me that's going to have get this experience. But I'm always in awe of that fact. And I'm reminded every day when I see that beautiful dome. It's such a gorgeous, gorgeous sight, right? That backdrop in DC with the dome and the monument. And when I see that dome where I get to work, where I'm a member of Congress, I'm doing this for my kids. I'm doing this for your kids and my neighbor's kids, because I want to protect this institution and this democracy for decades and centuries to come.
That's right. That's right. I can't believe we're already running out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience before we go?
Just how appreciative I am that those that supported me to get to this point, and that my office is located in Cypress in Washington, D.C. If anyone wants to come visit, please look me up. But our office is always open. If you need help with IRS, your VA benefits, whatever federal agency you're having issues with, come talk to us. That's what we're here for. And I will continue to serve at the will of the people and until they tell me it's time for me to move on.
We appreciate you being our guest and sharing a few moments with our constituents as well. And we appreciate your leadership. Thanks for your support with our small businesses.
Thank you so much, Ruben and Paul, for today. Appreciate you too.
Thank you.
There you have it. One more reason to tune in each and every time to Meet Our Community, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio, streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.